Hey guys, kind of fill you up regarding roster updates. We added a quarterback yesterday, Rex Grossman, and we'll get him back into the practicing mix today. And like we said yesterday, just competition still brewing at lots of spots, and that's certainly one of them. Don't anticipate him playing for this weekend, and get him back, get him going, and then we'll take a bigger look for next week's game. So that's kind of the plan with him moving forward. Just wanted to give you that update. And with that, I'll open it up some questions regarding the team.
Coach, how did he look in the workout and led you all to make this decision to bring him in? He hadn't thrown a ball in a game since 11, I believe.
Yeah, I thought the ball came out of his hand quick. He's got, you know, naturally a quick release, so that was probably the first thing that jumped out to me. And had him throw, you know, go through the routes and make all the throws. And so that part, it was definitely something that we wanted to look at and take a further look. So that's why we decided to bring him in and add him to the group.
Who'd you have him throw the ball to?
Two receivers, Clark and Harris.
And, you know, was this putting the other guys on notice or just the whole
thing? Not necessarily, D-Led. In this way, like we said all along, like, it's all for our competition. And so we're going to constantly keep looking to battle and see where we can improve if we can. I'm actually, you know, also looking forward to seeing TJ and Sean and going in this weekend as well. So we're anxious to go through that with them. So every chance we get to come and battle and compete, we're going to do that, you know, at all the positions. So that's how I'm approaching it.
Coach, if you guys do keep Rex and he stays around, what's the value of having a guy that knows the system? You know, Matt, of course, can pick it up, but what about helping other guys understanding the system?
Sure, I think that's a valid point, Vaughn. The first thing I think when you think about it, you know, from that spot, you know, the support that, you know, our backup or backups give, you know, to Matt and the help in terms of getting ready. The second process is, you know, the competitor to say, okay, how ready can he stay with limited reps in case we had to play him, that he's ready to go rock. So those are kind of the balance that you look for in that spot.
You guys don't anticipate trusting more than two on Sunday on game
days? Correct. Okay. Yep. Yep.
That's the recent.
Yep. Yeah, there's all sorts of challenges that you can go with two and three and practice squad, and how do you, you know, factor that in. So honestly, we're just kind of right in the middle of it in terms of the backup spots, and we're going to keep looking at it and keep evaluating and keep digging and just keep searching. And as we're looking through, very well could be the guys that are here. So just all about our competition. I just really wanted to, you know, stress that part again, and the players know that too.
I looked it up last year. There was 16 that went with three and 16 with two to open last year.
Right.
So I couldn't decide if it was a trend or not, but
Yeah, I think there's all sorts of reasons. Some of the ones, you know, when you had a third, is it another guy to develop and bring along? It's such a unique position. And so I think sometimes when a team has a third guy, they're bringing them along to develop them. And other times there may be a position player at another spot. Hey, we're going to make sure we bring this player along too. And then there's also the practice squad factor too. So a lot goes into it. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to it. I think the research says that, yeah, we're kind of right down the middle.
You see people maybe go to a third that'll be a two-point guy?
I think you could, but I think also historically it's been, you know, is there a third that can become a two who can become, you know, something to push through? So I think oftentimes that's where that leads.
These preseason games are all, you know, about learning and gaining experience.
Yep.
What have you learned about yourself as a head coach working this
side? Yeah, sure. It was that was probably the number one thing that when me personally I wanted to develop is the game management side, from timeouts to 2 minute to 4 minute to the situations, going through challenges where there's nothing that you can do to help get ready for that other than study the tape. But I had to go out there and go in that process as well. So it was an important time for me to get, you know, the understanding of how I can function with the officials, how I can function regarding the timeouts, the challenges. So it's been awesome for me to kind of go through that process. I've had a blast doing it.
Pleased with your progress?
Yeah, I'm a work in progress for sure, but I am pleased. You know, anytime, like, and we all know this, when you put the work in and you feel comfortable knowing that, all right, you're ready to go execute and do the plan that you had, you have that, you know, you're free to go, you know, play it like you will. There's all sorts of scenarios that come up and situations that come up, but I do feel good going into the games.
Yeah, is there somebody on the sideline that's on your clock eye, but is there somebody who you'll be in more contact with than anybody else?
Sure. On the sideline, a couple things that come up. Keith Armstrong and I have been working hand-in-hand. There's so many special teams, you know, plays that come up during the clock management. So he's been a big factor with me. Kyle's down the field, so he's also a factor. And then as far as the replay goes, I have help in the press box with Matt LaFleur on the offensive side and Raheem Morris on the defensive side. So that process has also been, you know, all right, let's look at it and take our look. And we took a shot at one last week in the challenge that we thought we had an opportunity to go. We didn't win it, but I thought it was the right time to go challenge it. And then we've had some scenarios, both 2 minute at the halves, 2 minute at the games last week, 4 minute challenges. So that part, I couldn't have been more pleased to be a part of that and have the conversations on the sideline with the guys. And then we've done a lot actually through the walkthroughs and through the practice. We go about as much situation as you could. So it, for the players, I want that part to feel normal too. No doubt it is, yeah, for sure. And getting to know them, talking to them before the game. So, yeah, it's one of those things I don't know if you can get ready for because you don't have the opportunity to go talk to them in that way. So, for me, these games have been really valuable.
The old, it's week three, and we asked the head coach about game planning for the first preseason game.
Yep.
The process for you in doing this, is it brings an added level of excitement?
I think the biggest – Sure. I think the biggest thing that we're trying to get everybody on board, this is actually the whole process that we'll go through a week. So what we do, how we do our walkthrough, the meetings are extended, what do we do at practice, some are carded, some are not. So it's more just learning the process. We do have a line that the process takes care of the learning. So the things that we worry about Wednesday, let's just focus on that. And then the things that we go into third down and the two-minute scenarios for today, let's just focus on that. Let's leave the game all the way until then. But the process takes care of the learning. And for us, that's a big one. But as far as the game planning goes, not too far, you know, away from our style of how we play.
Seems like Babineau's a guy that really fits the 4-3 defense, and he's been off to a pretty good start in the preseason. What have you liked from him so far?
Well, I think one of the things with Babs, and it's true with a lot of players, like, you know, good players can play in a lot of systems. And he's certainly one. He's got, you know, strength enough in his upper body and his hands to play two-gap. And then he's got the quickness to be a pass rusher. So I think that combination with him and Schofield and Brooks Reed inside has been a big one. I love the fact how he can communicate on the field. You know, he's seen so much ball that he's able to call some things out and play some plays. So he's off to a good start. He really is.
And as someone who's been here for so long on that defense, do you feel like he's kind of become a leader?
I think in his own way he is. I'm talking about Babs in terms of leadership. It, you know, doesn't really have to be somebody that, you know, brings it up. But just certainly some of the guys who've played a lot of football, especially a lot of the younger players, they look to people who've been there and done that. Okay, how does he act? How is it in accordance with what we want to do? But it's a terrific group. You can feel how tight these guys are getting, the Claiburns and him and Schofield and Warlow and Durant and Moore-ish, you know, through all the guys, how tight they are. You can feel that presence. You can see it on the field, you know, a shot to another guy, they're ready to go. So that closeness, that connection, it's totally important, and I'm really happy to see that.
I know you have an idea of how much you want guys to play, how many snaps, but how much flexibility based upon how it actually plays out, will that change?
Yeah, I think I'll have quite a bit of flexibility. I'm not going to be too rigid in terms of just how the series goes. Some series go longer, some series go less, and it's really about the readiness for our team to get ready. And for the players, let's just focus on us going out, executing our stuff, playing for one another, and have a great time doing it. That energy, that passion that we play with. And then I told the guys, leave all the how much do I play, how much don't I, where's this, where's that. Take all that stress off them. I'll take care of that. You guys go out and play and have fun, and let's enjoy how we go through the process.
Over the course of this camp, have you chewed anybody out, or has it just been completely positive?
Yeah, that's part of why the music's loud. No, I'm just kidding. No, I certainly do. I think you have to you know when to grab a guy's attention. And our whole focus is to see how good you can get. And so some, as we get to know the players, who needs more pushing and who needs, you know, an arm around them. That's our responsibility as coaches, to get to know the guys so well that we can push this guy and take him as far as he possibly can go. Some guys need more constant nudging and pushing along, where other guys, a look or a nod can do it. So it really depends on the player. But to answer your question, yes.
Was Evan Mathis a consideration at any point for you all?
Yes, we certainly did evaluate him. Yep, Thomas and I both did.
Just building off of that,
sure.
Talking about the positive reinforcement. And
yep.
Stuff. Have you developed that philosophy over the years, where you say, "Hey, you know what? Maybe it's not the greatest thing if a guy makes the mistake to just kind of rip him out of there. Maybe it's better to just
right.
Let him run through those."
I think like ripping a guy by fear, it can be a good emergency break. Whoa, wake up! But I think if you use it every single day, I think that's hard. So at times when we have to jump on a guy, we do that. And but the more we know a guy and we're helping take him as far as they can, Vaughn, that's really what we're after, to get to know all the unique stuff he has, where are the things he has to get better at, and we just constantly challenge and push how much better can we get. As it goes where we're not performing up to our ability, that's when that connection happens. Man, you're not playing as well as you're capable of. and you can have those real conversations when you've put the time in that relationship.
How did health-wise, how did things go with the guys who came back yesterday, and are we anticipating getting anybody back today?
As far as today goes, it's much the same as yesterday with the addition of Rashid. We're hoping now he's able to participate full today. So that's a huge addition for us, and I know he can't wait to get going. So that'd probably be the biggest update from yesterday into today.
And for the defense, will this be their stiffest test? You know, not trying to knock the rookie and Fitzpatrick, but Teddy Hill's a more established quarterback.
Yeah, I don't necessarily look at it that way. We certainly know all the the completions that that Ryan has. He's such an accurate passer. So in that way, there's a challenge, but no more so than anyone else.
Yeah, is there the 2 yards of real estate when you look at both lines? Let's say, is there something that you're hoping to be most satisfied with coming out of Saturday night? Is there something in your mind that you want to know?
Yes.
That night, that this is what I needed to see?
Yeah, I think number one, our mindset to go after the ball and take care of it. You know, for us to have a game where, we were -3, that's hard. And it's the central theme in what we do in terms of the football. And then on the line of scrimmage, both sides, for our offensive line, coming off the ball, making our combinations, that to me is, I can't wait to see that. And then defensively, I'd probably say tackling. It's such a constant area of emphasis for us. It's where the explosive plays die, when you can make good tackles and finish, and we'll be really hard to beat when we can really take care of it, really go after it, tackle well, play good on the line of scrimmage. Those are the things I'm looking to see, when we end that game.
Coach, Julio Jones had about 1,600 receiving yards last year and only 6 touchdowns compared to 2013. How are you going to utilize him differently this year?
Well, I think just in terms of the opportunity sometimes, in a different offense, how does he go? But in terms of like utilizing him differently, he's a unique player, and we're going to try and feature him in every single way that we can. I'm not going to put a number on him. It's like, okay, if he doesn't have this number, it's not a good year. He's a fantastic player. And
he can be a threat in the red zone?
No doubt he is. He is for sure. And red zone, backed up, short yardage, third down, first down, absolute threat. Well, it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. So as we're going through, when we feel like a player's at his best with the readiness, then we'll make the decision to pull. It won't be a wholesale unit where the offense goes this amount of plays and the defense goes this amount of plays. So we'll extend it a little bit further, but we don't have a governor on when he reaches this, then he leaves the game.
Have you seen him preparing any differently this week to get ready for the season?
I have not. So all of our preparation, every game that we play, we have the same mindset, and it kind of avoids the highs and lows. So we're going to do what we do, and that part of that process is learning. So we don't place more emphasis on one opponent over the next, and every chance we go out to battle, we represent that.
How's his relationship with Matt been?
Terrific, yeah. Those guys are as close as they get. You can see the connection after a completion, in the huddle, off the field, really close.
Is there a mindset anymore, Dan, that you don't show things to people in the preseason, or are those days gone?
I think they're a little bit gone because as you're going through, there's so much scouted information out there. So to think that a team doesn't look at the year before, come on, really? So that part, but I think the emphasis of, going through and allowing the guys to play fast, I think that's a big factor. But as far as, hey, we're going to hold everything until one game, I think that's hard to do because then you're not constantly practicing it. That's a good question. I think it's a topic that we probably don't discuss enough, to be honest with you.